Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that cycles through history one day at a time. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're exploring the early days of the bicycle, including how a group of early adopters helped promote recreational cycling and helped improve American roads in the process. The day was May 31st, 1880. Cycling fans from across the U.S. gathered to establish the League of American Wheelmen, the first national organization dedicated to the bicycle. The meeting was convened by Colonel Albert Pope, a former Civil War officer and one of the biggest bicycle manufacturers in the country. Pope knew that gathering 31 cycling clubs in one place would be a great way to advertise his business, but he was also a bicycle riding enthusiast, or wheelman, himself. He wanted the newly discovered sport to thrive on American shores, but to make that happen, he would need plenty of help. Early versions of the bicycle first made their way to the United States from Europe in the early 19th century. However, they didn't function like the bikes we know today. Some models, known as dandy horses, didn't even have pedals. Instead, riders would propel themselves simply by kicking off the ground with their feet, like you would on a scooter. Aside from the lack of pedals, though, the design looked pretty close to modern bikes, with two inline wheels, a seat, and a pair of handlebars. One notable exception was the penny farthing, the first machine to actually be called a bicycle. This iconic English import had two wheels, but they were drastically different sizes. The front wheel was 54 inches in diameter, while the rear wheel was less than half that size. This high-mount bicycle may look ridiculous and impractical today, but its large front wheel was hailed at the time due to the faster speeds and smoother ride it provided. See, the penny farthing was also what's called a direct drive bicycle, meaning that it did have cranks and pedals, but they were fixed directly to the hub instead of to a gear and chain. In this setup, one rotation of the pedal resulted in one rotation of the wheel, and since the penny farthing had such a large front wheel, its rider could cover a greater distance with less effort than if he had two smaller wheels. So, far from being a novelty, the Victorian bicycle with the giant front wheel was actually the ride of choice for any serious wheelman. In fact, the advantages of the high-wheel bicycle are what gave rise to cycling as a sport. By the 1870s, bicycle clubs had begun to form in cities across the country, but not everyone shared their enthusiasm. As a relatively new mode of transportation, bicycles were still viewed with suspicion or even outright disdain by much of the horse-riding public. Some local governments even imposed restrictions or bans on bicycle use in public places. Alarmed by this development, Albert Pope used his resources to advocate for the bicycle wherever he could. He paid the legal fees of cyclists who dared to defy the bike bans, and he helped establish the Massachusetts Bicycle Club in his hometown of Boston. But as the new sport continued to come under fire, Pope recognized there would be greater strength in numbers. And so, on May 31st, 1880, Albert Pope called a meeting in Newport, Rhode Island. There, he proposed joining forces with fellow cyclists like Kirk Monroe and Charles E. Pratt, and together they formed the League of American Wheelmen, a national membership organization devoted to the promotion of cycling. Split into state chapters, the League's members set to work promoting bicycle touring in their local communities. However, the barriers to entry for the sport were still as high as the front wheel of the bicycle. Penny farthing bikes were not only expensive, they also required a good deal of strength, balance, and stamina to operate. Luckily, before the decade was over, technical advances would open bicycle ownership to just about everyone, including, for the first time, women. In the late 1880s, low-mount bicycles with smaller, equally sized wheels, chain-drive gears, and pneumatic tires finally began to hit the market. This new model was dubbed the safety bicycle, and thanks to mass production, it could be sold at the relatively affordable price of $75. Within just 2 years of the bike's debut, the number of cyclists in the United States doubled from about 75,000 to over 150,000. But even with better bikes and a steadily growing membership, the wheelmen of the era still had a big problem to contend with. America's roads, pretty much everywhere, were terrible. Country roads in the U.S. were especially awful in the 1890s. Unpaved, uneven, littered with holes, and easily turned to mud in bad weather. As one New York Times article put it, the dirt country roads were, quote, a marsh in spring, a Sahara in summer, frozen stiff in later autumn, and a swamp whenever there is a thaw in winter. And the nation's urban roads weren't much better. They were often covered with wooden planks, which made for a smoother ride, but were still a far cry from pavement. Cyclists would sometimes pull onto the sidewalk just to get a break from the uneven terrain, and this inevitably led to accidents. Pretty soon, pedestrians were being knocked over left and right, leading some people to complain that bikes should be banned altogether. However, the League of American Wheelmen had a different idea. The group began advocating for the construction of paved roads throughout the country, but especially in rural areas where the upkeep of inner-city roads had become a burden on town residents. More than 100,000 cyclists joined the League during this time, and due to the success of their grassroots efforts, Congress established the Office of Road Inquiry in 1893. This office in the Department of Agriculture was tasked with spreading information on good road engineering and with building short segments of roads in key cities as a way to bolster local interest in road construction. Through this effort, the nation got its first state-funded paved roads in 1898. And then, just a few decades later, Congress finally authorized an entire national network of quality roads. In that sense, it really is no stretch to say that the early work of the League of American Wheelmen paved the way for the national highway system. And yeah, by that point, the paved roads were intended more for cars than bicycles, but hey, a win's a win. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.